This is our number two.
It's time for the fastest 15 minutes in the news. This is Dory's Fastest 15.
Whoa, it's a world of news in a tidy little 15-minute package just for you. Welcome to our Fastest 15. Coming up a half hour from now, Brock Heward will join us. Got a lot of stuff to talk with him about. And by the way, the guest we had on, the merchant at the Pike Place Market, Mike Osborne, who beat down the robber, his nephew works at Bonneville. His nephew is James Osborne, who used to produce Brock's show. They know him as Boy Howdy, but that's Boy Howdy's uncle that I talked to a half hour ago. How about that, Nicole? It's sure a small world out there.
It really is. We didn't know that until he actually got on the phone with you. So that's crazy.
Yeah, he told me that just as we were getting him on the line. So now I know where he gets his storytelling skills. So good stuff there. All right, let's give the Fast 15. We found out yesterday that the taxpayers are going to put homeless people who are in downtown Seattle into hotels. And one of them, it looks like a very fancy hotel in downtown Seattle. It's called the Executive Hotel Pacific. Nicole, you've done a fair amount of traveling. You've done a little bit abroad. What's the worst place you've ever stayed?
Oh, man, you didn't prep me for that question. I'm trying to
I know I should have.
Gosh. I don't know. I can't come up with that. I mean, I do a lot of traveling, but I don't know. I do a lot of work to make sure I don't have to stay in not lovely spaces. Oh, I got one. So there was I went to Cabo once and we got down there and we were staying on an off the, so in Cabo, there's kind of a strip of businesses and clubs and restaurants and all of that. And I normally stay on that strip. Well, we stayed off the strip a little bit one time and we had various things yelled at us. The pool was in the shade and very dirty. It was just tiny. It was no bigger than, a couple couches. It was, tiny. It was a little pool. And so we were there about 20 minutes and our room smelled and we checked out and went and got on the strip again. So that was probably the worst hotel experience because it was legitimately scary. Some of the things we were having yelled at us.
Well, this story, what we're doing in downtown Seattle. So we're putting the homeless people in these hotels, and one is called the Executive Pacific Hotel, and it looks really nice. It's a old brick building, kind of a classic brick building downtown, and on their website, I'm on the website right now, uniquely Seattle, timeless style, downtown core. No building claims heritage like the Executive Hotel Pacific, a timeless piece of historic architecture in the heart of the city. 155 rooms, each with a story to tell and style to spare for a city that needs no introduction. And it shows, really upscale people. They have a fitness room, and they're drinking wine, and they're working with their laptop. So that's where we're putting homeless now. And a couple of years ago, before COVID, this hotel would get about $200 a night. And now downtown hotels are mostly empty because there's very little business or tourist travel these days. And so now this hotel is the taxpayers are putting homeless people in it. And I was thinking, well, why are we using such a fancy hotel? And then just for the fun of it, I went to TripAdvisor and I wanted to see what they said about this hotel. And I don't mean to, and I'm not trying to call out this one particular hotel, but out of 117 hotels in the Seattle area, according to TripAdvisor, it ranks number 114. out of 117. And then I read the reviews, and it talked about filthy, dirty, and I had to sleep with my clothes, with my street clothes on because of how the sheets were, and pieces of the ceiling fell down. It was just, it was a horrible review. And so I, here's what bothers me. They don't seem to be very well run. And on the TripAdvisor comments, there are a lot of people who said, I tried to get my money back. They wouldn't do it. And I'm thinking, so wait a second. So you run the hotel, run it down so much, and then we, the taxpayers, swoop in, and we're going to spend millions of dollars to fill all of the rooms at this hotel with homeless people. And then, whenever the homeless move out, are they going to reveal that to travelers? After all the reviews that have been one star, are they going to reveal, because I hate to say this, but homeless people who are mostly using drugs, they don't tend to take very good care of their property, even if it's a swanky or should be swanky hotel room for a night. So are they going to reveal that? And one of the reviews said, it's a homeless shelter. And that was from 2019, pre-COVID. So I just, once again, is this the best way to spend our tax dollars, the $100 million a year that we're spending in Seattle and King County on homelessness? According to the, what was it, the Puget Sound Business Journal, I believe, said we're spending $100,000 per homeless person per year. You know, we're putting them in high-rise hotels? Really? They said they're going to give them services while they're there. I just cannot fathom why we're doing this in our downtown core. I will never understand. When I was in Denver last weekend visiting Brock, we all went out to Colorado Springs. It was about an hour and a half out. And about an hour outside of Denver, there were all these little tiny homes in the middle of a very, very, almost rural area. I was going to say very suburban. And so we got on our phones and wanted to see, what are all those tiny homes? We thought maybe there were farm workers out there. No, it was a homeless encampment where they're giving them all kinds of services, but they're doing it way outside of the city and on land that costs them almost nothing. Doesn't that make more sense than putting people in a 8-story historic hotel in downtown Seattle? But this is why homelessness is the horrible issue that it is, because it is the homelessness industrial complex. A lot of people making six figures, and if they solved the problem, their jobs would go away. There's very little motivation among people in the homelessness industry to solve the problem, because then their big fat jobs go bye-bye. All right, next up in the Fastest 15, down in Tacoma, there is a park called Franklin Park. It was named after Benjamin Franklin. Now, it was named after Benjamin Franklin. But we have just changed the name of Franklin Park. They've decided to now name it. And by the way, the person they're naming it after is a very accomplished person. Rosa Franklin. She was the first African-American woman to serve as a Washington state senator. She told Q13 News she couldn't believe that Franklin Park was now named after her.
My reaction was one of surprise, because that wasn't something that I had expected.
And the Pierce County prosecutor, Diane Clarkson, says that changing the name from Benjamin Franklin Park to Rosa Franklin Park is huge for the BIPOC community.
To have a park named after someone who's lived and worked and done the grind right here in our community is very, very inspiring, and particularly a Black African-American woman.
And as I said, Rosa Franklin is a very accomplished person who was a trailblazer. But, you know, we've done that to King County, which was named after Rufus King, a U.S. vice president in the 1850s. And then about 20 years ago, they changed it to be named after Martin Luther King Jr. I just wonder when that's going to happen to our state. Because, you know, the students at the University of Washington, they are trying to get the George Washington statue removed because he was a slaveholder. And I told you that yesterday about that story. But we are also, you know, of course, slavery is abhorrent. But George Washington grew up in a time and in a world where there was slavery on every continent. And he grew up at a time and into a process where it was not unusual. And while it's abhorrent by any standards, especially today's, we wouldn't have a country if it wasn't for George Washington. And he did heroic things so that the greatest nation in the history of the planet could come to be. And to say that we should deny George Washington, it's so misguided. And what it reveals, I was thinking about this last night. All these kids who have been told from the time they were born by their helicopter parents how special they are. All these kids, they've grown up, and now they think, when they get to the University of Washington, they think that they are so much smarter and more enlightened and more advanced socially than any generation that preceded them. And so now they have come up with the brilliant idea of let's tear down the George Washington statue. Well, it's not a great idea to deny our history, to view somebody only through the worst of them. And by the way, if any of us was defined by our worst qualities, I don't know if any of us could survive that sort of scrutiny. But thankfully, a lot of us have qualities that maybe have overcome and have outweighed our worst. And when you have somebody who fought so heroically and gallantly so that we could have a nation at all and was our first president, and for, you know, these enlightened students say, we got to tear down his statue. So we've done it to King County. We've done it to Franklin Park now, down in Tacoma. It's coming for the University of Washington, maybe for the state. Then we got to change the flag, because it has George Washington's silhouette on it. And the beat goes on. Next up in the big lead, this was a very sad story to me. Downtown Seattle, another huge problem that we have is there are some streets where the sidewalk is filled from building to curb, from end to end, with tents from homeless people. And there's a woman that talked to Q13 named Dawn Lucas. She is confined to a wheelchair, and she wants to get around downtown Seattle. She lives in the Chinatown neighborhood right next to Pioneer Square. And she says that she's reached out to the city because there are some sidewalks that are so filled with tents that her only choice is to go up the bus lane in the street, which is horribly unsafe.
I've reached out so many times without any response whatsoever. And I know the city is huge, and I'm just a little guy.
But she's reached out to her council person, Tammy Morales, who hasn't done a thing about it. And I'm just curious, once again, in the hierarchy of caring, why is a wheelchair-bound woman, Why does she have to take second fiddle to homeless, mostly drug addicts, but also many of them mentally challenged? emotionally challenged. And she says Tammy Morales has ignored.
I feel ignored mostly by my city council person, which is the first person that I feel that a person should go to.
And she has sympathy because she has been homeless herself.
And I empathize. But when it creates a safety hazard, something's got to be done.
And one of these days, somebody who's forced out in the street because of these tents is going to get hit by a car or a bus. And then you and I get the multi-million dollar tab for the lawsuit that is inevitable. And once again, they have decided, and to answer my own question, why does somebody bound to in a wheelchair have to play second fiddle to homeless drug addicts? Well, because homeless drug addicts are an essential part of the destruction of our city, a destruction that is very much desired by many of the people in power. And so if they have to risk a disabled woman's life in order to achieve their end of destroying the city, that's what they're doing. And that's more proof of everything I've been telling you about this. And that is your Fastest 15.
This has been the Fastest 15 Minutes in the News. Fast Stories, Fastest 15.
You give us 15 minutes, we'll give you the world. We're going to check the news for you, and then our buddy Brock Heward is going to drop by for his weekly visit. That is coming up next.
It's Hump Day with Heward.
Blue in it, check. Brown, 24, Razor.
Brought to you by IRG Physical and Hand Therapy on Cairo Radio 97.3 FM. With a 12s, here the Hawks.
Play fake to Benny Russell, lets it go. Down the far sideline, reaching up, making the catch. Touchdown, Seahawks!
Here's Dory Monson.
Wednesday afternoon is when we like to get together with our friend Brock Heward, who joins us from somewhere in the Brocky Mountains. Hey, Brock, how are you today?
Hello, Dory. How are you?
Hey, did you by any chance hear about this merchant down at the Pike Place Market who was getting robbed?
Put the beat down? Did he put the DDT on him? Was it the Jake the Snake move? Was it the pile driver? What did he go with?
Well, he told me an hour ago. He's a 61-year-old guy. He's been working at the market since he was 13 years old, 48 years he's worked there. And here's what he did to the thief.
Yeah, he was a big guy. Turned on me, and I cold cocked him once. And so he dropped a couple bags, and then he took a swing at me and didn't really hit me, but kind of shoved me out of the way. And so I had a couple of other punches thrown, mainly by me. And then he got by me and ran out of the stand and ran into the main arcade. Once again, I was not going to get robbed. At that point in time, my adrenaline was through the roof. So I just chased him down, grabbed him by the collar of his coat with both hands and jerked him down. And he just went flat out on the tile. And that was the end of that.
Now, you're probably wondering why I'm playing this for you when in our precious little time together.
Oh, uh-huh.
Do you know why?
Because that's what I wanted to do to the announcer at the game Saturday night?
No.
Oh.
Because this merchant's name is Mike Osborne, and he has a nephew named James, who you know better as Boy Howdy.
That is Sazio's, and you don't mess with Sazio's fruit stand. I'll tell you that right now.
No, you don't.
No, you don't. Oh, that is so good. He put the horse collar on him. I can't wait to hear. Yeah, I can't wait to hear even more from Boy Howdy on this one, too. That's funny. Honestly, as you were starting to share that, I was like, gosh, I wonder. And he's talking. That's in the general kind of vicinity of Sazio's. I've been there a bunch. And sure enough, there you go, man. Don't mess with Uncle Mike.
That's right. That's exactly right. Oh, man. So you shared with me what a great story that the NBC affiliate in Denver just did a few days ago. How about that?
That was pretty neat on my girls. Yeah, you and Suzanne were here. And Suzanne, I don't know where you were at this point. You were maybe doing show prep or out walking or riding the bike. I don't know what you were doing. But Suzanne got the pleasure of hearing Miss Macy, my middle daughter, and I get into it a little bit because, you know, she had not done something, or I don't know, it was homework or something. So yeah, Macy's got a little vinegar to her, and I was so glad that the story that the 9 News did out here, and what a great station, kind of like Chris Egan with his high school sports in the area, how much he loves kind of promoting high school sports. It's the same thing out here. There's the NBC affiliate does the same thing every weekend, and they shot a pretty neat story on my 2 girls that I thought kind of captured the essence of their personalities and was pretty neat.
Well, it was cool. And, you know, I saw their team play. Your oldest is a senior. Macy's a sophomore. Yep. And here's a little bit of what the Denver NBC station said.
They're feisty competitors.
It can get very feisty.
There's a lot of feist.
There is so much feist.
Let's relax.
Haley, don't do that, though. Seriously.
In case you can't tell.
She's, like, laughing at me when I'm talking.
They're sisters.
Honestly, I look up to her a lot.
For the first...
I will say, I heard that tone a lot when we were visiting you guys.
Oh, yes, you did. What was great about that is they came out to the house, Dory, and they had 2 guys, and one of them was setting up, and they had 2 cameras, right? Kind of a front shot and a side shot and a lighting and all of it. And sure enough, they say Haley Macy sat down to be interviewed first, and the one camera was rolling. And yeah, Haley was just picking on her, and Macy was not going to have it. So, and I even said to Macy, I'm like, Macy, camera's running. I mean, you better be careful. You never know what they're going to pull out once that camera's turned on. And then, we got a chance to see it before it aired. And Molly said to me, like, do you think Macy's going to be bothered by that? Before we showed it to her, and I was like, no, actually, I don't think so. I think she's full of some feist and some fun for sure.
And your lovely bride, Molly, talked about this big move your family made.
We didn't know if there would even be a basketball season, and the move happened fast for us. So there was just, like, part of me didn't want to get my hopes up that they would actually get to be on the court together and have a season.
I still don't know if we're going to have a basketball season here in our state.
Well, did I see that that Governor Inslee has come out with his phase 3? Did I see that, or have I not seen that?
I haven't
that?
Heard about 3. Maybe maybe I missed that.
No, you didn't, Dory, because he's not given.
I thought you were telling me something I should have known.
Oh, breaking news? Now. No, breaking news. Yeah. He has no idea. And no plan, and is just going as this thing goes along. And I've gotten a lot of tweets from folks, people that saw that back in the Northwest, and they're like so frustrated. My wife has had some conversations with family that is still there, that have kids that want to be active. And the fact that you don't even have like the next phase, that you've not put a plan together to say, okay, here's the game plan. Okay, we get to these numbers, we get to this stage, here we go. Here's a plan for you to be 12 months into this and not have any clarity is so. Oh man, we've talked about this a lot the last 9 months, but you know, just talking to friends and family, and maybe that piece in some way kind of sparked the hurt even further, because we've heard from more family and more friends there in the Northwest, and they're exasperated. How can you not have guidelines? How can you not put together the next phase, the next plan, the next chapter for these kids, Dory? It just is maddening.
It is. And I gave some stats last hour from Brown University, updated every 2 weeks. The schools that are open have a lower transmission rate than their community as a whole. And so there's absolutely nothing to back this
in the sporting events, in the outdoor sporting events. There was just, I was chatting with one of my colleagues at Fox who, you know, is on the other end of the spectrum when it comes to this than we are, and that is fine. And even he was like, you know, all of these studies that have come out, and there have been even more now that have shown there's been no transmission at these outdoor sporting events.
No.
From NASCAR way back in May and June with 35,000 people in Bristol, Tennessee, to the Super Bowl, to all of the outdoor football games all over the country, there was not a super spreader event. There was not a spreader event. And again, to continue to just not have a plan at this point, that is what to me is just continues to be so infuriating.
Well, and, you know, to his slight credit, the governor wants people back in school. It's the teachers' unions now who just don't want to go back to work in, you know, a more challenging setting. And I know that you're the son of a school teacher. My in-laws were both public school teachers. My wife still works in the public school. I'm not slamming the schools, but the teachers' union does not want to go back to work. Okay, let me hear the close to the NBC 9 story in Denver here.
With Haley celebrating her senior night on Friday, she'll soon be out the door to play ball at the University of Montana.
Taking every moment, and time is going so fast, and just make sure to just let her know how much I love her and like playing with her.
And it makes you reflect on who they are.
I'm gonna miss her a lot next year.
Because while feisty is what they may be, sisters is who they've always been.
Aww.
Whoa.
How sweet is that?
That was really cool. Scotty did an excellent job on that piece out here. And I was just listening to a podcast today, doing some driving, Dory, and just to all of the dads and moms out there with teenagers and in these trying times, just spend time because it is flying by and we never get it back. And just set aside some time, even through this angst and even through frustrations, just have that special time because it is certainly going really, really fast in this season of life.
Yes, it does, man. I know that very, very well. Are you, one other thing I want to talk to you about.
Yes.
I don't know your schedule. Can you stick around?
The young Dory Monson that was on the broadcast of my girl's game on Saturday night?
Well, something else too. Can you stick around for one more segment?
Sure. Absolutely.
Can you?
I can actually. Yep. Nope, I can do it.
All right. Okay. We'll continue with Brock Hewitt in just a moment here on the Dory Monson Show.
Splish, splash, I was taking a bath. Long about a Saturday night.
Well, we're getting a little bonus time with Brock Heward today. According to the Wall Street Journal, Brock, baths have become pandemic Xanax for celebrities.
Mm.
And I was very eager to talk to you about this because one of the first things you and I ever bonded over was our mutual love of taking baths.
Uh-huh.
And I want to make it clear, I did not say our love of mutual baths. I said our mutual love of individually taking baths.
Yes.
But it's a very interesting story about how celebrities are using baths to cope with the pandemic.
Uh-huh.
And you called me a couple nights ago from an chamber.
You texted me and said, hey, can we chat?
Yeah, I had something I wanted to talk to you about.
Yes.
You called me back from an echo
chamber. But I think that's important because I didn't just flat out of the blue call you. Okay, so let's make sure we're pretty clear on this. So you texted, said, hey, can we chat? I had some baseball practice and some places to run the kids and finish working out. Mm-hmm. So I had a window of opportunity at a particular time.
Right.
And that particular time was when I was in my 108-degree bubble bath.
Wow. And you make that announcement right at the beginning of the call. And you said, do you mind that I'm calling you from my bathtub?
I don't even know why that was
necessary.
Well,
I
think a couple of things. I think number one, you would have probably thought, huh, it's kind of different sound. Is he on the toilet? Mm-hmm. You would have probably thought maybe I'm on the toilet. So I wanted to clarify and say I'm not on the toilet. And, you know, some are uncomfortable. It's just, it's a very similar phenomenon to when you go into a men's room. And I think we had this experience and talked about it. The men's room at, let's say, Bonneville. And one of us is on the stall behind the closed doors, but taking care of business. And while the other one is at the urinal, I could see, hey, it was Dory that walked in. I'm looking at your shoes. And maybe I spark a conversation. And some are unbelievably uncomfortable with that. And I get it. Yeah. And I get it. And I've even asked in those environments, hey, are you comfortable chatting right now? If not, then let's not do it. Likewise.
Well, the answer is always no. It's always no.
Well, and for you, you've got shy bladder syndrome, so there's no chance that you can take care of that and talk. So, yes, that's a no. That's a no.
I would rather if you'd use the medical name for what I have. Uh-huh. Shy bladder syndrome is the slang. It's actually called paruesis. That's the medical term for shy bladder syndrome.
Okay.
As he discovered on a fishing boat in Sitka. Right.
So we know anyway, that, anyhow, sorry.
I just want to let you know, you're in good company. During the pandemic, Madonna has proselytized about the pandemic's democratizing effects from her bathtub, and a naked Chelsea Handler has given out book recommendations from her bathtub. So I think you should actually turn this into a thing to help people get through the pandemic and come up with some bit you can regularly tweet out.
About a month ago, Dory, I was doing a show on Sirius Radio, and we got in this conversation because my co-host was so unbelievably disturbed. I had just kind of dropped on the air. Oh, yeah, you know, I was doing some of that studying in the tub last night, and it was just dead air on the other end. And I was like, Ben, are you there? Hello? He's like, what did you just say? He has not taken a bath in his life since he was a toddler. So we got into a big debate about baths and opened up the phone lines. And yes, I took a phone call from a professor in Nebraska that said the same thing as these studies are saying, that for your nervous system, it's a really good thing to do. And I just feel like I've been out ahead of it for years and years and years because I've been a bath taker my entire life.
Yeah, I didn't have a shower in the house that I grew up in. All we had was a bathtub. So I didn't
take a critical question, though. Critical question. Yeah. Because actually the callers, it's about 50-50. About 50-50. Yeah. And I think even a few, maybe even a little bit more of guys that do. Critical question. When you came out to hang out with me, and when you weren't in my home, you were in a hotel. Right. Do you take baths in the hotels?
Absolutely not. Disgusting. Just absolutely the idea of sitting in a porcelain basin in which some other dude sat amidst his own filth. No, I'll do it in my tub. That's it.
All right.
Man. Okay.
Don't ask me that question.
Do you? Do you do it in hotels? No, seriously. We only got 20 seconds. Do you take baths in hotels?
I draw a line. I don't do it in the tub-shower combo. If it's got a separate tub from the shower, 1,000%.
Oh, it's just so disgusting. Okay, I love the heart-shaped tubs. I have shy tub syndrome, too. Okay, Brock Heward, always a pleasure. Thank you for coming on today.
See you, Tori.
Okay. And we got the big lead at 2 coming up next.